broadcasting live from the Encita Business Radio X studio in North Carolina, it's time for NC Tech Talk, where tech leaders come to tell their stories.
Welcome to NC Tech Talk, North Carolina's internet radio broadcast covering the tech sector. I'm Mark Montoro with the North Carolina Technology Association, or NCTA as we're affectionately known by our members, and your host for this month's show. For those of you that are unfamiliar with NCTA, we are the nonprofit membership-driven trade association and the primary voice of the tech sector in North Carolina. We support economic growth through three initiatives: executive engagement, which is our term for events; public affairs, where we lobby in front of state and federal government on behalf of the tech sector; and knowledge workforce, our workforce development, which is our initiative for helping companies find the talent they need and job seekers find the companies that they want to work for. If you ever want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is at NCTA, and we have a company page on LinkedIn. We are also streaming updates and comments on this and future shows at hashtag NCTechTalk. As you've probably seen from our promotions, State of Technology, which is our flagship technology conference, is less than a month away. The theme of this conference is mashing up technology to drive business transformation, and we have a great lineup of keynote speakers and business and panel discussions exploring how the integration of analytics, cloud, mobile, security, and social technologies are helping companies stay ahead of their competition. One component of the conference is our startup showcase. We've selected some early stage companies to present their cutting edge technologies to the audience of over 400 business and technology leaders, and we have two of them represented here today. Our guests today are executives from, first, I'd like to introduce Mark McNasby, CEO of Brim. Mark, thanks for joining us.
Nice to be with you, Mark. Thank you.
Great. And also with us here is Joe Bell. He's the Director of Marketing at BidRocket. Hey, Joe. Hey,
pleasure to be here.
Good, good. So we'll start with you, Mark, and let's find out a little bit more about your company, Brim, who's going to be presenting at State of Technology. Tell us about the company and why you started it.
Sure, yeah. So Brim is the first worldwide productivity network. We take the best elements of tools like Skype, Dropbox, and Google Docs, and we've integrated it into a single tool so that people can collaborate. The Brim idea came about while I was working as CEO of my last company. Our customers were asking us for a better way to get things done with their, it was in higher ed, with their students, and they wanted mechanisms for instant messaging, for video conferencing, for sharing files. And there wasn't one good tool that existed. So we started to build this tool for them, and through the process of building it, we noticed that there was utility for our own internal team. So we actually said, wow, we have something here that could be used in a much larger scope outside of higher education. So the CTO of Brim and I, Michal Ugudek, spun off to focus on Brim for a much larger audience.
It's a testament that you're drinking your own Kool-Aid, so that's a good thing.
Exactly.
So collaboration, obviously a big thing. That's a thing where, as you were mentioning, a lot of companies may, or individuals may even use separate tools, but not having that one that puts them all together.
Yeah.
You say companies like Slack, they've made a big splash. What makes your company different?
Well, there's a couple of things that make it different. And that's thank you for bringing up Slack, because the key difference is we both integrate with third-party solutions like Dropbox and Google Drive, much like Slack does, but we actually have native tools embedded in Brim. And the benefit of having a native tool in your software is that you never have to leave the conversation. So for example, in higher ed, let's say a faculty member is doing virtual office hours using Brim, and a student doesn't share the same technical, maybe they're working on Linux and the professor has a Windows machine, and they don't have a common set of technologies to share, Brim bridges that. So in conversations where there are two people that are loosely connected, it works really well. Brim's also a network. So rather than just connecting with your small team and in your company, you can connect with anyone anywhere to work live synchronously.
Interesting. How big is the network overall right now? You're trying to build that. Is it individual companies? But you're saying anybody can join?
Yeah, so anybody can join. We're actually launching at the NCTA conference. So that's our official launch. We have our first client right now, which is one of our local big universities. Mm-hmm. And we're piloting it in about four or five different spots at that location, as well as they're our first paying customer as well. But we are also piloting small businesses and DevOps units around the local area.
Yeah, you talked about education kind of being particularly a good fit for this, but are there other target customers, or is it just size of business? It seems like this could be relevant for anybody.
Yeah, it is definitely relevant for everybody or anybody. Essentially, the use case is for people who work together closely. So a DevOps software company would work really well, mm-hmm. offshoring services where you're working with a developer who's in a different country. But really what we're trying to do right now is focus on the higher ed space because that's where we have the most experience, and that's going to be our initial beachhead as we reach other customers.
Yeah. So you see this a lot, especially with the emergence of just social media platforms or whatever. They offer the product free with some way of monetizing it. How are you planning on monetizing and making money with Brim?
Sure. So there's a couple of ways that we're going to monetize Brim. With our first client, it's a typical annual subscription based on the size of the institution, right? So if it's a small mm-hmm. company, it's a small subscription. Much larger organizations, much larger subscriptions. So, but it's also a hybrid approach where individual users can access premium functionality and have a freemium business model as well.
Interesting. So obviously we're bringing in a lot of early stage companies that can mean a lot of different things. So where are you standing in the finance side of the business, and where are you looking to go from here?
Sure. So to date, since early 2014, the founders of Brim have bootstrapped it entirely. Mm-hmm. Although we are in the process of looking to raise an angel round in the next few months to accelerate launch into 2016.
Okay. And so we talked a little bit about the Startup Showcase. Many of you listening in who have been to the conference before may know about it, but we're taking a Shark Tank style approach, or more of a pitch style. You're getting 6 whole minutes. So do you have a type of strategy? Have you done these types of pitch shows before? And how are you planning on trying to present to the audience?
Yeah, I haven't had an opportunity to be in the Shark Tank yet, although I'm looking forward to it. We're in the process of a number of different tech competitions, and throughout the process of these tech competitions, you know, where there's a written piece and a in-person sort of Shark Tank approach, mm-hmm. But I guess my feeling, we're gonna show the best that the software has to offer, but really try to spin it in a way that is going to make sense for, instead of boiling the ocean, try to pick a specific market that we can talk how you can use Brim to solve problems.
Yeah. And you talked a little bit about the launch actually being at State of Technology or during that date. So
exactly.
Tell us about this launch. What can we expect?
So right now, when you go to the Brim website, which is br.im, it's essentially a placeholder page. Mm-hmm. We thought that the NCTA State of Tech Conference was going to be an ideal forum to launch our software live. So at that point, our software is going to, the public website is going to become live, and people will be able to sign up for themselves as well as teams.
Great. So any other ways that they can find more about Brim or your organization, any other ways to contact you, or do they just look for the website?
Yeah, no, you can definitely look for the website, or you can follow us on Twitter at @Brim_team, or hit us up on our Facebook page.
Great. Mark, thanks for your time. We're going to come back to you in a little bit. I'm going to kind of cue this up, but I know I'd like to hear from both of you about the venture climate here a little bit after. But for those of you just turning in, you're listening to NC Tech Talk, the tech sector's internet radio program brought to you by the North Carolina Technology Association. If you want to learn more about us, you can visit our website at nctechnology.org. Our Twitter handle is @NCTA, and we also have our company page on LinkedIn. All of our comments on this and future shows will be at @NCTechTalk. So we're going to visit with our next guest. Joe Bell is the Director of Marketing for BidRocket. Joe, tell us a little bit more about your company and where you guys are right now.
Sure. Well, BidRocket is a behavioral science company that was largely formed around UNC Chapel Hill. I originally came to North Carolina to manage research for one of their research institutes there. And at the time was working with a network scientist on some sampling methodology. And the funding or the research that we were working on at the time lost funding. And so I transitioned into music event marketing. And so I was working in the nightlife space, marketing for concerts.
Probably the most interesting behavioral science to monitor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, and you know, our products right now, we actually got our start in nightlife. But at the time I was approached by someone named Brian Lay, who wanted me to help him with a product that he was developing. Essentially, it was an app for your phone that would let you pay for cover for bars and nightclubs with a credit card instead of cash. And so Brian brought me on to help sign up venues and to acquire users. And the idea was that we wanted to use the app in order to do social network analysis, to find the influence of individuals. If we could target a specific individual to raise attendance at a bar for a specific night. And so we developed the app and put it into use. And the original idea was to link it to Facebook so we could generate graph data that we could use for the social network analysis. We didn't get enough users using the app, so we kind of rethought what we were doing. And at the time, we had brought on one of my former colleagues, Ashton Verdery, who came up with an idea to essentially just use transaction logs or purchase data to generate the graph data so we could see how customers knew each other and then the influence among them. And so the at that stage, we acquired a small angel investment and developed the product, and we just finished it a couple months ago. And so now we're raising a seed round, and we have Brian Lay, the lead founder of BidRocket, is in Silicon Valley right now, drumming up some money.
Interesting. I've always been interested. It's the kind of the behavioral science side, why people do what they do. You kind of brought up both social networks, social influence, kind of those areas. Tell the normal layperson about how those influence it and how BidRocket is using it for their product.
Okay. Well, social networks, kind of in a general sense, are an organized set of people and the relationships among them. In a more formal sociological sense, social networks are emergent social structures that are comprised of social actors and the relationships among them. You know, it's a social network isn't necessarily Facebook, but Facebook is a great example of a social network. If anyone's seen the social network graphs or sociograms, where essentially it looks like a large spider web and there's little dots or nodes that are connected to other nodes, that's an example of a social network. So in terms of Facebook, an individual profile would be the node or the social actor, and then the people who you're friends with would be the connections between individual nodes. And all of your friends on Facebook, you know, you don't have the exact same friends, and so you know, the connections between you and your friends and then your friends and their friends are going to be different.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I've seen on my news feed just somebody who I don't even know likes something that my friend happened to like, and it's on my news feed now, so it's very interesting. So looking all over your site, Contigo.io, that's what is driving BidRocket. Tell us about that technology and how that kind of is being led to create BidRocket.
Okay. Well, in the context of social networks, one thing that's really important, it's kind of a hot trend right now, is influencers, you know, people that are able to mobilize others towards some action. And in terms of our formal analytics, influence is the inferential assessment of the pathways in which individuals affect the aggregate towards some desired behavior or outcome. And so what we did with Contigo is we brought in an expert in machine learning and essentially developed an algorithm and a machine learning cluster that can look at transaction logs or purchase data, and then it can infer relationships between customers and then the influence among them. You know, so Travis Janovich with Etix actually gave us a pilot data set to develop this technology. And so what we were able to do was to look at ticketing data and then see who among the people that bought tickets know each other. And then of those people that know each other, who can we isolate and say that if this person goes to a concert, they're going to bring 10 people with them.
Interesting. Yeah. So you talked a little bit about that. I see on LinkedIn all the time, there's, this is an influencer in your network, or on Facebook, how, you know, somebody is always asking who's coming to this because your friends or people you may know, even how they recommend friends. So Obviously, other social networks, other technologies are using that. How is Contigo different?
Well, Contigo is different because what we're doing is actually detecting influence. Former technology like clout is a good example of the former technology of influence, where clout will look at the number of followers that you have on Twitter, number of Facebook friends that you have, and then evaluate your engagement of posts or tweets. But we don't really care, or Contigo.io, isn't really concerned with how the influence takes place. What we're concerned with is if the actual influence is taking place. It can be word of mouth. It can be, a church group or an atheist group. It can be a conversation at, around a water cooler. It can be a post on Facebook, anything. But what Contigo.io does is if influence exists, we're able to detect it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think the one thing you're seeing in social media is knowing what your customer influence is and what that is. So how important is that? What do businesses need to know, and how can they really help this towards their betterment?
Well, it's extremely important. There's like I said, there was a huge trend in marketing right now for influencer marketing. But it's really taking traditional metrics or measures of a customer and turning it on its head. If we look at something like the lifetime value of a customer, and in the concert space, we can look at a customer and say that this individual purchased $30 worth of concert tickets over the life of their their purchase history, whereas another customer purchased $210 worth of tickets, but that's a very traditional sense of the worth of a customer. Mm-hmm. What we like to do is look at the network value of a customer. So we can go and essentially look at the individual and then the people that they know, and then the monetary value of those people that they know as well. So if the individual that purchases $30 worth of tickets brings 75 people with them to a concert, their actual worth to a company is exponentially greater than the individual that purchased $210 mm-hmm. worth of tickets.
It's very relevant. But so when you're taking that real world application, you're telling a customer or a potential customer, this is why it's value. Here's a real world example of that. What would you tell them?
Well, we actually just completed a case study last week, and we're finishing up the white paper right now. But we partnered with Live Nation and SFX for an event in the Raleigh, North Carolina market. And we looked at ticketing data from 2012 until 2015 and analyzed it for influence. And then we took 112 individuals who the Contigo.io algorithm ranked as highly influential individuals, and we sent them an email. And in the email it said, thanks for your support of shows over the years. To show our appreciation, here's a discount code. It's 10% off of the show. What we also did was we case matched them to other individuals who had purchased tickets over the years but who had no influence score. So our Contigo.io algorithm.
So, Joe, we were just talking about that real-world application. You were analyzing the two different groups of ticket buyers and how that could be impactful by offering that discount code. What did you guys find from that? How did that? What kind of results did that elicit?
Well, there was an exponential difference in the ticket purchases for the influencer group compared to the control group. The influencer group within 3 days purchased 42 tickets. They were encouraged to share the discount code with their family and friends. And so we actually saw adoption of that, posting the link on social media saying, come to this concert and use this discount code. And we saw that for both the control group as well as the influencer group. Mm-hmm. But the only people that actually adopted and were able to purchase tickets were those that were linked to the influencer group.
Oh, very good. So we talked with Mark a little bit about this. Both of you guys are going to be newbies at State of Tech. Have you guys done any types of venture pitches or anything like that for companies? Is this going to be at the Startup Showcase kind of your first time on stage?
Well, no. Generally, Brian Lay does most of the pitches, but both Brian and I did the Real Deal pitch in Raleigh, I believe it was last year. And we were the only company that got an offer, but we turned it down.
Okay. Well, sometimes that's a good thing. You got to wait for the right offer, correct?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Bad terms are bad terms.
So how can people learn more about BidRocket? Where would you drive them?
They can go to our website, bidrocket.com or contigo.io.
Okay, great. So I wanted to take this as a little off script, so bear with me, guys. But both of you are in this stage of development of companies where you're looking for funding, kind of how that all came to inception. So Just kind of throw this out to both of you. How do you see the venture climate here? What made it so attractive to start a business here in North Carolina versus anywhere else? Mark, you've been on both coasts recently.
Yeah, been on both coasts. You know, it's funny because even though this is a regional market in terms of VC, we're seeing much more activity in the space. Though we're only, at this point, our company, we're really only interested in sort of angel round. But the institutional money, there definitely appears to be interest, and more are bubbling up all the time. So I think, for young startups who are looking to raise money, settling down in the Raleigh-Durham area is a good place to be.
Yeah, I felt like this was one of my favorite shows because of the quality of attendees, all being Tar Heels. So I'm glad you guys were all here. Joe, you went to school here. Is that what kept you here when you started the company? I mean, it came from your research knowledge here, or how did that come about?
Well, partly, but there's also just an entrepreneurial spirit here. Durham in particular is really growing as a technology hub. Mm-hmm. Our offices are both at the American Underground. And American Underground companies have won the Google for Entrepreneurs Demo Day for 2 years in a row now. So, this is a great climate for technologies as well as VCs.
Mm-hmm. And that brings up kind of my next question about angel funding versus venture. I mean, is there one strategy that you guys preferred? Joe, you said you got a first round of angel funding. Tell us about that.
We were locally funded initially, and now we're raising a large seed round that is predominantly being done in Silicon Valley. Brian's out there drumming a business, but we definitely got our start here.
Yeah. Mark, venture capital, right?
So we've bootstrapped it. We've funded everything ourselves to date. However, it may be possible for us to continue to bootstrap it with new revenue from new customers, but to really accelerate, we're going to be looking for some angels in the area. We've had some very tentative discussions with some VC firms, but I think we don't need the type of capital. We don't need the $1 million investment. We need a modest investment of $250,000 to $500,000 to kind of kickstart things. So, in terms of going to a seed A. An A round, we'll see how things go, mm-hmm. and see if we can bootstrap it all the way. And if not, then we'll, or maybe we'll need it for further expansion.
Yeah. Both you mentioned, you mentioned earlier, Joe, that, you guys are both in American Tobacco. So how did you choose that spot? Did they come find you? And what has been the value of being at the American Underground?
I've been in a number of different offices, from sort of regional office parks, to high rises in the area. And, we wanted to be part of a community, and the American Underground, offers a really special environment. There are, I think, about 150, maybe to 200 companies, located there, all startups. There's a lot of knowledge sharing. There's a lot of community, involvement. So you definitely feel like you're part of something. And recently, our Brim has been accepted into the accelerator called Groundworks Labs, which is one of the really nice things about being in the American Underground is access to organizations like that.
Mark, Joe, I really enjoyed our conversation today. Really looking forward to seeing both of you guys at our startup showcase in just about 2 weeks from now. So thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Before we go, don't forget about our State of Tech Conference in Durham on May 15th. This will be your chance to see both our guests in action at the Startup Showcase, as well as our keynote presentations, panel discussions, and more. So that concludes our show, and we will have our podcast live on our website. So visit nctechnology.org for this and all of our future events and engagements. You can also follow us on Twitter at NCTA and our company page on LinkedIn. Our next show will be recorded live on site at State of Tech, so we hope to see you then. Thanks and have a great day.